Sansa Brahma Gadana, Sahara Sakopi, I Prince Gaura, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nichananda, Sia, Dwaita Kadara, Sigarva, Kadana Gija, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Buddha, Shama Pandarada, Kadadidi Gobra Dhan Gija, Sri Vrindavan Dhan Gija, Navadab Dhan Gija, Ganga Jamuna Tulsi, Bhakti Devi Gija, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindi Gija, Samadat Bhakti Vrindi Gija, Go Premanandi, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadam Prabhu Sesha Sunivari Pastacha Desha Tarade Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama. Indra said, Aho, hello, Dhanava, O demon, Siddhasi, you are now perfect. Yasya, whose, a, your, mati, consciousness, Midrasi, such as this, Bhakta, great devotee, Sarvatmanam, without diversion, Atmanam, to the super soul, Sukhradam, greatest friend, Jagadishwaram, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation, Indra said, O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, and friend of everyone. Therefore, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yam lava chaparam lava monete nadikam tata tasma sito naduke na guna bhidhi chalate. Established in Krishna consciousness, one never departs from the truth and upon gaining this he thinks of no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken even in the midst of greatest difficulty. An unalloyed devotee is never disturbed by any kind of trying circumstances. Indra was surprised to see the Vritrasura undisturbed. Was fixed in devotional service to the Lord, for such a mentality is impossible for a demon. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of God, anyone can become an exalted devotee. An unalloyed devotee is sure to return home back to Godhead. Next 20. Surmounted the illusory energy of Vishnu, and because of this liberation, you have given up the demonic mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is the Mahapurusha. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava attains the position of a Mahapaurushyasa. This position was attained by Maharaj Parikshit. And it is said in the Padma Purana that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that the demigod is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. whereas a demon is just the opposite. Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Dhyana Asura Spakti Paryaha. Vritasura was considered a demon, but actually was more than qualified as a devotee or Mahapurusha. If one somehow becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, whatever his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. This is possible when the devotee tries to serve the Lord by delivering him in this way. Therefore, Sukha Samya said, Bhagavatam, Kiratas, Munas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulkasadas, Abhiras, Sumbas, Yavanas, and members of the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. For he is the supreme power, and I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. Then, even if one is a kirata, andra, pulinda, or whatever, he can be purified and elevated to the position of a maha-purusha. Purusha. Translation, he said, O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance and devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of God and the Super Soul and friend of everyone. So, here now, Indra begins to speak, and we see from his opening statement that he recognizes the position of Vritasura. So, in spite of his fighting him as a demon, he also says here he is a bhakta, he is a devotee. He's a devotee of the Supreme Lord, who is the friend of everyone and the super soul of everyone. So, Indra also recognizes the nature of the Supreme Lord, because he's here giving a definition or description of the Supreme Lord. And he also knows that in terms of a body, Vritasura is a demon. So he says, Danava, Siddhasi. As a Danava, you have become perfect, because you have become the devotee of Supreme Lord. So, in this way, he appreciates that the body is not the indication of the position of a devotee. And he also recognizes the devotee's position in relation to the Supreme Lord, because here he describes the Supreme Lord as Jagadishwar, etc. So, Indra also has great knowledge. He is not an ignorant person. He knows how to recognize a devotee. He knows the difference of the Supreme Lord from everyone else. He knows the position of the jiva. He knows the process of bhakti, that this is a very elevated process. So he is also a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Only a devotee will recognize another devotee. So we can understand that even though Indra is put in a lesser position, because he is striving to get back his kingdom, still, we cannot condemn Indra, because he also appreciates the position of Vritasura as a great devotee of the Lord. Here, Vritasura also says that Vritasura surpassed mine. He is actually, by his consciousness, he has understood the difference between illusion and the Supreme Lord. And because of this, then he's liberated. So the demon body is of no significance at all. So though he is born in a demonic family, he has given up the mentality completely. On the other hand, he's become completely attached to the Supreme Lord. So the process of transformation is bhakti. Because he's a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he has surpassed all demonic qualities. We should not think that first he has to give up his demonic qualities, and then he can practice bhakti. The process of bhakti itself will eradicate all bad qualities. We see, of course, in the case of Ajami, his bad qualities are erased not even by bhakti, but by accidental bhakti, which is called Bhakti Abbas. He simply named his son Narayana and chanted that name. And that name destroyed all of his sinful tendencies, etc., etc., karmas, all that. So, the process of bhakti itself will take the person in tamagun or rajagun and it will also purify them. So the process of bhakti is open to all people. So the demons should practice as well as the devotees. So one does not have to have prior devotion to begin bhakti. Even a demon can do that. However, usually it would be unlikely that a very demonic person would directly take the bhakti suddenly or spontaneously. So what is the cause of that? So the cause, if we trace back, usually the cause is some devotee of the Lord association or some mercy of the Supreme Lord directly, one or the other. When the Lord appears in this material world, he gives association and causes even demons to advance. That's not surprising. When the Lord is not here, then everything depends on devotees only. It is due to devotee association that demons give up their bad practices and become devotees of the Lord. So, of course, there's many examples of that also. We see the case of Narada, how he gives good instruction and mercy to lots of people, and they advance very nicely. Srimurgari the hunter was also very sinful, so he's not qualified in any way, but because of the mercy of Narada Muni, then very quickly he advanced. So ultimately for asuras, the cause of advancement would be devotee association in most cases. And when the Lord is present, then he can give his direct association. But of course, why does the Lord come? The Lord comes in the material world because of devotees, ultimately. So then devotees are the cause of bhakti, ultimately. So that bhakti may not manifest in the demon in one lifetime. It may take many lifetimes for that bhakti to manifest after the association. So sometimes it will look as if suddenly the demon becomes a devotee from nothing, no association, but previous lifetime, there was some association, and due to that, then he's begun to develop somehow or other. So in this way, the accidental type of thing is there in previous lifetimes by which association by which they can advance. So this is the nature of bhakti. And of course, usually we say that it is confined to human beings. Naramatra is qualified by bhakti, for bhakti. But, of course, even animals can get the advantage of bhakti also. Of course, they can't do it consciously, but they get some good effect. Yeah? So there's a story among the Purana of the mouse that nibbled at the ghee wick. And it did so. Then the flame got bigger, and it lit up Vishnu. So it was service to Vishnu. Therefore, he got liberated because of that. So accidentally, even animals can also take advantage of bhakti or whatever and get very great results. So that was Supreme Lord himself must have given that mercy or whatever. But in any case, it is open to all people, so even the demons can take advantage of bhakti if there is mercy of devotees or the Supreme Lord. Without that, nothing happens to any demons. So we see, of course, that even devotees are merciful. Sometimes demons don't take advantage of that and they still remain demoniac. So that's, of course, another problem, that the devotees are all merciful and they spread mercy everywhere. But some people take the mercy and some people don't. So usually what is the case is that it takes many lifetimes of such mercy to affect the very demonic persons. But nevertheless, everything has an effect. So we may not see the effect in this lifetime. Some people may not become, and demons may not become devotees in this lifetime, in spite of the mercy of great devotees. But future lifetime maybe. So gradually, the mercy builds up over many lifetimes until one lifetime they become a devotee. So Prahlad got the mercy of Narada Muni in the womb. Even though born in a demonic family, he got that mercy. So mercy will come in different ways. We cannot detect how it is going to arise. And so when Prahlad came out of the womb, he already had the mercy. And we don't see it when afterwards, but actually it took place before. In some cases, it would be the previous lifetime they got the mercy and it manifested in this lifetime. So nevertheless, we can always trace back the appearance of bhakti to some mercy somewhere in the past. So it's not something that spontaneously arises on its own in a demon or whatever, but it actually is connected with devotee association. It is through that association that eventually we see the bhakti is planted, and then it begins to grow. So the and if that seed is not planted, then nothing happens. And the person could walk for many lifetimes and not develop bhakti. So therefore, the devotee is very important in the material world. The devotees, of course, want to always serve the Supreme Lord. They don't care where they are in the spiritual world or material world. The Lord eventually, of course, takes the devotees to the spiritual world, gives them a spiritual body, etc. But as long as they're in the material world, they help fulfill the desire of the Supreme Lord by distributing mercy. So that is the service that these devotees do. And because of that, the Lord is very affectionate to them. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yes, that person who preaches my message, he is very dear to me. This is the way the Lord's mercy is distributed to the people in the material world via the devotees of the Lord. So that is why the devotees are always glorified and Sadhu Sangha is considered to be the means by which we get bhakti and the means by which we can advance in bhakti. So that's very, very important. So, therefore, it's necessary to recognize the devotees, and therefore we have offenses. Those who criticize devotees are aparadis. So we have to begin to recognize the position of the devotee. And here we see that Indra, he recognizes very easily, in spite of the register of being an opponent, an enemy, and in a demon body, he recognizes the devotee, how? By his words. He had good knowledge, so that expresses his understanding of the Supreme Lord, therefore he must be a devotee of the Lord. And of course we see here that Indra is a devotee because he recognizes devotees, he understands the nature of devotees, whereas demons do not. So the true devotee will recognize the status of devotees. Of course, the Kanishtha Adhikari, his definition is he doesn't. He recognizes the Supreme Lord, that's about all he can do. Doesn't recognize the position of devotees. So therefore, it's very difficult for him to advance. The Madhyamadhikari, he recognizes the devotees of different types, and therefore he can advance very nicely. And he recognizes the demons, and therefore he avoids them. He does not preach to the demons. So the in this way, the Madhyamadhikari can advance very nicely because he appreciates the devotees of the Supreme Lord. So, here we see that Vritasura understands bhakti, and Indra here recognizes Vritasura as a devotee of the Lord. So he's correct in not creating offense by saying, oh, this person is a demon body, born in a demon family, therefore how can he be a devotee? He doesn't consider that at all. He recognizes that the body is not the judge of the status of a devotee. So Indra has some good perception there.
he was not a demon. I just thought she was just a sinful person because he was killing animals and watching them suffer, etc. But he got the mercy of Narada Muni.